A very good morning to all of you, and welcome to this Dyson Healthcare Sunday. What I plan to do today is that not only will I be sharing with you the role of St. Andrew's Mission Hospital, but I'll be sharing with you as well the role of St. Andrew's Cathedral and its members in the role of St. Andrew's Mission Hospital. That's one. Secondly, although we in the hospital we deal with people who are above the age of 60, I'll be covering the physical, emotional, and spiritual issues that affect those pre-elderly, essentially those from the age of 5 to 60. And I think that covers every one of you sitting in this audience. Are we all right? Come, let's talk to the Lord in prayer first before we dive into His Word. My son, pay careful attention to my word, because they are life to those who find them, and they are medicine to all of your flesh. Father, I thank you this morning for bringing each and every one of us here to your household. I thank you, Lord, that you have enabled us to come to be grateful to you for all the health you have blessed us with all these years. We ask, Lord, that as we come before you, we will apply your medicine to all of our flesh, physical, emotional, and spiritual. And in thanking you, we will be able to rise up to continually serve you, our God, our King, and our Healer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In 1913, our founder of St. Andrew's Mission Hospital, her name was Dr. Roberts. She had come to Singapore and she married the bishop of the cathedral. His name was Reverend Ferguson Davey. And she became Dr. Ferguson Davey. And as he was doing his ministry in the nave, exactly on the other side there, yes, the nave has changed. There's been certain other construction going on. She started to walk outside the grounds of the cathedral. Now, for any one of you who have walked outside the grounds of the cathedral, at that time, Singapore River was just on the other side. Clark Quay and Boat Quay were full of boats of people and immigrants who had come to this country to look for a better life. Most of the men used to row their sampans and do business along these rivers. The rivers were not as clean as what you would look at them now. And in the evening, they would lie all around the cathedral, not on the grounds, but outside from essentially South Bridge Road, North Bridge Road, New Bridge Road, and they would rest to smoke opium. That is what she saw. But more worrying to her was she saw ladies and children. And in those days, ladies did not want to be seen and did not want to be examined by a male doctor. There was a boundary which they were refused to cross. So they suffered just as the men from dysentery, pulmonary tuberculosis, typhoid, and plenty of diseases silently. So what she saw upset her so much that she decided if she is able to raise some money from well-wishers, from the members of the cathedral, she will go out and try and get a place where she herself will start a clinic. So on one of the Sundays, after speaking to her husband, they raised 131 Singapore dollars. This is 1913, 131 Singapore dollars. Amazing. And with that money, on the very Monday, she went and she managed to get a space at 14 Bencoolen Street. 14 Bencoolen Street is still around, but the building is not the same. She managed to open a clinic, and she was swamped with more than 200 ladies and more than 80 children with various needs. That was the beginning of St. Andrew's Medical Mission, and from 1913, she essentially expanded into an Upper Cross Street home. And from there, she opened the first inpatient arm of St. Andrew's Mission Hospital at the upper house. These are shop houses. In fact, if you were to walk around the roads right now, the shop houses are still there. So at the top part of the shop house, she opened the first 6 beds for those ladies who were ill. Fast forward, 1923, the hospital moved to Erskine Road. The shell of the hospital is still there in Erskine Road, directly opposite the URA building. Then subsequently, they opened St. Andrew's Orthopedic Hospital at Elliot Road, because in those days, parents didn't want to look after children who had tuberculosis. Tuberculosis was a very severe disease, and even to now, the scourge of tuberculosis at home will definitely disturb the momentum in your family. And in 1948, after the war, we were very blessed to open up the hospital at Tanjung Pagar Road, 250 to 255. Fast forward all the way. Don't worry, I will bring you to 2016. Don't worry, I'm coming. Give me a bit of time, all right? Yeah, I moved quite fast, actually, from 1913, and I'm coming. Essentially, in 1992, the needs changed. The maternal and child health care of the population of this country had grown. Kandang Kerbau Hospital and Outram Road Sepoy Lines Hospital, which is known as the famous Singapore General Hospital, had blossomed. And we did not have much need to look after women and children, but the elderly were blossoming right in front of us. So St. Andrew's Community Hospital opened in 92, and subsequently we moved to the Simei Care Site right behind Changi General in 2005. As of 2016, our hospital deals with the elderly predominantly. We deal in 5 models of care: those who have suffered a stroke, those who have suffered a fracture, those who have suffered a cancer and need help in journeying on in palliative care, those of them who have cognitive impairment and need help to understand how to occupy their time and how to come back into their families with certain amount of dignity and respect. And the elderly who do not need to be admitted into Changi General will come to us for their various medical illnesses. We are very blessed. We have 10 wards at St. Andrew's Community Hospital. We are currently 260 beds, 700 staff, compared to 1913, when there was only one doctor, one volunteer pharmacist, and 6 nurses. But I do not want this morning to share with you or to continue to propagate anything about the elderly in the hospital, because what I want to share with you today is a far more holistic issue about the care of the elderly. And I want to cover those of you who are pre-elderly right up to the elderly. So this morning, I purposely took an example from a man who is 85 years old from the Bible. Don't get angry with me. I could have gone to a 760-year-old man in a Bible, but then I think I would have had a bit of connect with all of you here, because there is an issue, because I don't see anyone of that sage sitting here. So what happened is that I purposely went into Joshua chapter 14, and this is a life of a man who is 85 years old. And he gives us 6 tenets of health care, which I thought is very interesting that you should pay very careful attention to. Not when you are 85 years old, much earlier than that if you value your health. If you have your Bibles, please open to Joshua chapter 14. Because of lack of time, I will go through the verses, the key verses that you need to pay attention to before I move to the church at Thessalonica. Essentially, in Joshua chapter 14, I think you know the incident that happened at Kadesh Barnea. He had gone to spy, he had come back. And what happens is that he looks at Joshua, who is now a commander. He's still a soldier, and he looks at Joshua, and he tells Joshua a very important verse, verse 6. I remembered the word of God which was spoken to Moses 45 years ago. Some of us have problems remembering the word of God even 4 minutes ago. No? It is quite alarming, you know. And this is not a young man. This is an 85-year-old man, and he tells his commander, who was his fellow spy, I remembered the word of God at the age of 41. Verse 8, so in remembering the word of God, what did you do with it? All of you have remembered the word of God for a very long time. What did you do with it? He told Joshua, I followed the Lord wholly. That is in my version, W-H-O-L-L-Y. In some of your versions, it will be fully. 45 years. I'm not sure how many of you have followed the Lord, but this man had followed the Lord fully for 45 years. What was the outcome of following the Lord for 45 years? Verse 10. And because of that, the Lord has given me life. Not only has He given me life, He described that life in verse 11. The life that the Lord has given to me is strong, strength. Every patient that comes into our hospital after an illness, they want strength. They want strength to be able to recover their function. They want strength to be able to rise up. They want strength to be able to leave the hospital. Please don't look at hospitals and think they look so nice. You know, I wonder what it would be like to stay there, you know? Huh? You must be very careful, no matter how seductive hospitals look like now. They got ponds, they got trees, they got window by your bedside, they got menu, you know, not A-class menu, but some menu so you can choose some stale custard that will help you a bit. Please, the hospitals are actually not a place for you to stay. And all our patients, all without an exception, want to go home. Because home is where they came from, and home is where they want to stay, and they want to live on. So essentially, the value that Caleb tells Joshua, not only have I heard the word of God and remembered it, not only have I fully followed the Lord wholly these 45 years, the outcome, He has blessed me with life, and the life He has given me is strong, amazing. Okay, I'm just so amazed. Okay, because essentially, to just bring back, maybe I should move my slides. Let me just try this. Yo, does it work? Okay, very good. Please look at the slides there. These are all our patients. Okay, as you get old, you are going to change. Okay, as you get older, you're going to find that, yes, I may not be able to walk as strong as you can see in one of the slides. You may need an aid. All your years, you used to go to the POSB to put money in and take out money, but there will come an age in your life you will only be taking out money because money will not be going in. Okay, this is a fact of life. All your life, you could get up, you could stand, you could walk where you wanted to walk, but there will come a time you will need someone to help you. All your life you were able to choose the audience that you want to sit and you want to talk to. As you can see, some cognitively impaired patient of ours on the top left. Okay, but there'll come a time nobody will want to talk to you because you are strange. You know, I don't know how to relate to you. You know, you look at me and I look at you, and I just cannot connect with you. There will come a time. But I do not want to end this slide on sadness. What I'm just trying to tell you is that physically, you will never be the same as you age gracefully. But if you look at the life of Caleb, you can continually to follow the Lord. You can be strong. You can go home. You will be able to walk. You will be able to have comfort in your friends. And you will be able to have a certain dignity in life. This we have seen in all our patients. And this I have seen and tasted in the last 35 years of my work in healthcare. I just want to warn you, there's a lot of media garbage that you see that is propagated into your homes. One media garbage is that elderly laughing in a wheelchair and doing gardening after suffering from a neck injury, you know. Or another elderly talking to his son, and then one girl walks past, you know, and then there's some eyes fluttering, you know. And then, you know, he's so worried, you know, that his son is not married. That is media garbage. Please don't be fooled by garbage. I've never met a single elderly in my 35 years who enjoys moving around in a wheelchair. You should be very careful. The very fact that this morning you can rise, worship, sit down, give thanks, go home is something alone to give thanks for. Physical, but I do not want to stop at physical alone. Emotional. Emotional is something that sometimes can be very damaging. We just prayed for the mental health of people. But you ought to watch your mental health as well. Because many, many times when our emotional state is affected, we actually does affect our physical state as well. Our Lord went through many emotions, many emotions. He has hurt, he was rejected, he was spat upon, he was slapped, and he also had anger. But each emotion he managed in one sphere. But emotional upheaval can be very disturbing. So as we walk through with our elderly in the hospital or outside, we have to always share with them, because 50% of the work we do with families. And sometimes children are very strange, you know, I must tell you this. You know, from the time we brought them up as gold, our children were brought up as gold. They were such a valuable investment, you know. And then there will come a time they will look at you and they will tell you, I will do what I want to do. You don't tell me what to do. No? Then you will look at this child and say, I taught you how to speak English language, and now you have eloquently and elegantly told me and put me in my place. I'm not sure how you respond. There may be other issues of emotion, but your children will come to a state like that. The same child that slept in your mother's womb, sorry, in my wife's womb, for many, many mothers. Yeah, mother's womb also. You have to sleep in a mother's womb, not in a father's, okay? All right, the same child that slept, when the child reaches the age of 10 to 15, the child will reduce their sleep pattern, you know? Reduce and reduce and reduce. When I was young, I wished my parents good night and I would go and sleep. My children, when they wish me good night, if they do wish you good night, when they go into the room, they got many good nights. You know, they got 200 good nights to wish, you know, on the telephone. And the telephone doesn't end, you know. And they can be good night, good night, good night, good night to 2 a.m., 3 a.m., and 4 a.m. You are destroying your life, because if you don't sleep, you will not heal. When you were young, when you slept, that's how you grew. And that's how you were blessed. If you don't sleep, your immune system will never be able to get a chance to catch up. If you don't sleep, your blood pressure will go up. And young hypertensives occupy 26% of our population between those of the age of 18 to the age of 40. They are not sleeping. Okay? And you need to be very careful. It's the same thing like eating, you know. From the time they were born, we prepared food and we fed them and we fed them, you know. But there will come a time they won't eat, you know. They won't eat breakfast because they feel, I don't need it, you know. All right? And then they will have lunch and they will eat some garbage and some rubbish. And then they will come back happy that they ate that garbage compared to the food that is so wonderfully prepared at home for them. Please be very, very careful. I think you can identify with what I'm saying, but it's very important that physical and emotional both come together. And if you are strong, you can stand and you can fight. The next slide, I already moved to the next slide. I'm so sorry. All right. Okay. The next slide, essentially, I put under spiritual. The first one was physical. The second one was emotional. The third one is spiritual. Why is this so spiritual? Because this is the most neglected thing in our life. We do not pay much attention to the physical, to the spiritual, because we feel that the spiritual is okay. You know, I can come on Sunday, I can just listen, I can be lukewarm. Why not? I don't have to stand up, I don't have to do anything, just let me listen. I mean, and I can switch off, I don't have to pay attention, and then I can go back, and from Monday to Saturday, I can do what I want to do. Wrong. You were bought with a very heavy price. You were bought with a very heavy price. He's no more on the cross. He's a resurrected king. You don't believe a dead Jew, you believe a resurrected king. And you were bought with a very heavy price. The only blood that is mentioned to be precious, the only blood in the whole world that the word precious is used for, is of our Lord's precious blood. And you were bought with it. So you must be careful how you manage these three avenues in your life. So as far as Caleb is concerned, he tells Joshua, all right, thank you for these things and the strength you have given to me. I'm not going to till my land. I have to till it, I know. But I am going to do it for battle, to fight, to conquer the mountains of Hebron, and to occupy the whole of Hebron. Each of our patients have battles, and I'm sure all of you here have battles. All of you here, without exception. And you can fight the battle if you follow the four principles of Caleb. Essentially, remember his word, follow our Lord wholly. He will give you life and he will give you strength. Jump straight to the Thessalonian church, which I will just finish towards the end. Essentially, the church at Thessalonica was a church that was quite lukewarm. In fact, in the book of Revelation, a lukewarm church disappears from the face of the universe. And the church at Thessalonica was lukewarm. They were quite well-to-do, middle income. They were able to manage all the things they were able to manage. But sexual immorality had crept into the church, which is covered in the first two chapters. Keep yourself clean. Not only that, they were so educated and so academic that essentially not only were they not obeying the word of God from the pulpit, they were having a big debate. What happens when I die, you know? Where do I face and where do I put my funeral casket? How will it happen when I go to meet the Lord? Will he be in body form or will he not be in body form? There is a whole chapter of discussion about what happens after death. So Paul writes to them and tells them in 1 Thessalonians 3 verse 8, another very beautiful verse, if you really live, that's the key, if you really live, verse 8 and 9, stand fast in Lord and give thanks. It's very important. Exactly like Caleb. All right, we need to come to the New Testament. Verse 10, continually seek me, but there's a key there for health, day and night. Night is included in it. As I told all my five children, every ounce of filth comes into your life from 11 p.m. at night to 5 a.m. in the morning. There is immense amount of filth in this world. It can be projected right into your bedroom if you are not careful. And you need to be very careful because every ounce of filth in this country is from 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. Yes, I'm a 24-hour ground staff. We cover the hospitals. We have people who are working who are 24 hours. But we need to guard ourselves. The night is just as important as the day. The night is important for your health, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10 says, continually seek me day and night. And the Lord gives you a promise. This is the Lord blessed Caleb. If you continually seek me, If you stand fast in me and if you give thanks, essentially, I will direct your path and I will establish you. Many times diseases comes in because the cancer of competition, I'm not sure whether you heard of this cancer. There are many cancers in the world, but there's one cancer that's very subtle. It's called the cancer of competition, you know. I must be number one. When you die, you can be number one. Nobody is going to bother about you. I must be number one at all cost. So I become toxic at work. I'm a very toxic colleague. I must overcome everybody. I must be first. You will never be first. Our Lord will always be ahead of you. You need to understand this because this destroys your physical, emotional, and spiritual walk with the Lord. Because the moment you want to be first, you use the devil's native language, I, me, and mine. Those were the three words that the devil went to tempt our Lord Jesus Christ in the wilderness. I, me, and mine. You need to be very careful. So as we walk with the Lord, as we remember our health, as we focus on physical, emotional, and spiritual, you need to be careful how you walk through this way. I just have another few more minutes. Is that okay with you? Can I? Fine. All right. Why did I leave this slide on? Very simple. I'm 10 meters from this slide. I went for some training in 1983 to a camp in Thailand, Kanchanaburi Camp 2. Okay. And while we were in the camp, we went on course. So our Inche had told us, at all costs, during course, we have no rank. So there were about 16 of us who had just finished a certain course in Thailand. And we were waiting in a training shed. There's a training shed 3 meters from this go-down. Actually, it was a building. We didn't know what the building held. We didn't know. Trainees, we don't walk around Kanchanaburi Camp 2 and say, hey, can I see this? Can I see that? We don't. We followed military rules, stay where you are and don't move. I happened to bring my Kodak Instamatic camera. Actually, you're not supposed to bring it into the camp. I'm not confessing to you, the Lord has already forgiven me. But actually, I brought it into the camp, not to take this photograph. I brought it into camp so that after the course, you know, I can take a photograph of my course colleagues. That's all I wanted to do. While we were sitting there, there was this gentleman who was moving this big B-52 bomb. Kanchanaburi Camp 2 was the forward bombing base, carpet bombed by Richard Nixon right throughout the whole of North Vietnam. This is a B-52 bomb. And suddenly, lo and behold, we see this young man, the man has fallen down, you can see his leg in the corner behind, moving this vehicle with this bomb. And it just falls right in front of us. 3 meters away from us. 42 of us are waiting in the training shed. Why did I show you this slide? There comes a time that you stand and fight, and there comes a time you must flee from filth. But because all of us were told, do not move from this training shed, all of us sat in the training shed, and all of us were looking at this bomb that fell down there and just was right there. And we were sitting, all of us, because we were told, do not move. So I was thinking, it's quite strange, you know. So I took out my camera and I just took it. Why did I put this on? Because I left it as spiritual. Because sometimes, if you look at the world around you, it's no point standing in front of a prostitute den and saying, I can stand here and I am strong enough. You are a fool. You are a fool. The Bible says there comes a time you are to stand and fight, as Joshua was about to do, but there comes a time you must flee. You must know your boundaries, when to say, no, I need to get out of here. I need to move on. Because if not, there can be very serious consequences. In closing, I think the next slide, this is exactly what Joshua answered, which I've answered to you. In closing, I've actually just put on the slide about promise-based management. Everything our Lord tells you is promise-based. It's a promise-based management as to how you ought to live, and those are the five issues that I've covered with you this morning. I brought with you the ministry of healing that we have continuously done. But it does not stop in the hospitals, it starts in your home. It does not start at the age of after 60, it starts at the age of 5. So if we can remember some of these principles, it would help us to stand and to move on. Let me close this time in prayer before I hand it back to the worship team. Father, I thank you, Lord, that all healing comes from you. And because healing comes from you, we proclaim that healing is mine. We thank you, Lord, that you came to give us life and to give us life abundantly. And yet, Lord, there are many times we destroy our own life by our own academics, our position, our privileges, our money, or our arrogance because we want to be number one. Father, we ask, Lord, that all diseases bow down in front of you. And in the healthcare field, we thank you for everyone in the marketplace that you have brought in to manage these diseases. So I pray this morning for every one of my brothers and sisters who are sitting in this audience, that they will look at their own health physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And they will guard their health. They will give voice to your name, and they will apply your word into their life. As they celebrate your goodness, as they celebrate their health, and they celebrate the many more years to come of which we can hold you and walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray.